And now, today's word.
I'm going to preach on the subject, knowing the Holy Spirit. Knowing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is somebody we hear about. We hear his name used a lot, but many times we're not too sure who he is, what he's doing in our lives, and how we respond to him. So this is part one of knowing the Holy Spirit. And this part one, I'm going to focus on three important aspects of the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. So we'll start from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1 is where everything begins. It establishes the most important principles of our Christian faith. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That is how we get to know that there is the Spirit of God. Later on, that Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit did not come on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there right from the beginning, and he has never left. So there are a few things we want to look at concerning the Holy Spirit. The first thing, important point we want to recognize about the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of God, and he signifies the presence of God. So if you look at a passage, it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And because he is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is not less God. He is God. The Spirit of God and God are one. My spirit and myself are one. God and his spirit are one. You cannot be separated from your spirit. You and your spirit are one. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's God. He's divine. He's unique. And the other thing about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is that he is present. He is present. He is always there. So when we are introduced to the Holy Spirit for the first time, he is present on the earth. He is present. If you want to experience God, you experience God through the Holy Spirit, because he is present. He is the manifestation of the presence of God. He is present in the midst of the darkness. He is present in the midst of chaos. He is present when there is no light, and he is present when there is no form. Because that is how the passage describes the earth. The earth is without form, darkness is upon the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit is present. So the Holy Spirit is present at all times. Even when you think things are not working, he is present. When you think there's too much darkness, there's too much chaos in your life, he is present. He is ever present. And he is there at all times in the life of the believer. So, the Holy Spirit is present. And the other thing you notice about the Holy Spirit here is that he moves. He moves. He is not stationary. He's constantly working. So, the Spirit of God is present in a chaotic world, and the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is present, and the Spirit of God is moving. You know, many times when we go through difficulties in life, there is trouble, there is chaos, some bad thing has happened to us, and we wonder, where is God? Where is the Spirit of God? He's present. What is God doing about this? He's moving. What is the Holy Spirit doing when the whole world is in chaos? He's present. You know, because people sometimes in times of conflict and chaos, they wonder, where is God? He's where he's always been. He's present by his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is not imprisoned. The Holy Spirit is moving. Even if you don't feel him, he is present. You don't see him, he is present. You cannot see what he's doing, he is present. He's always present and he's always moving. He's always present and he's always moving. In this auditorium, he is present. In this auditorium, he's moving. You may not feel anything, but he's moving. You may not have goosebumps, but he's moving. You may not fall on the ground, but he's moving. You may not scream and shout, but he's moving. The Holy Spirit is always present and he's always moving. If there's anything you want to learn about the Holy Spirit from the first two verses of the Bible, is that he's always present and he's always moving. And he's present when we don't see him, we don't feel him, we can't appreciate him. He's present. He's present in your life and he's moving in your life. He's present in your marriage, he's moving in your marriage. He's present in your home, he's moving in your home. You say, but there's too much chaos in my home. He's present and he's moving. Don't ever forget that. He's present and he is moving. So that's the first thing we see about the Holy Spirit, that he is the Spirit of God. He is God himself. He is always present and he is always moving. And when you read the Bible, there are many ways in which the Holy Spirit is described. And the first and primary way is what we have talked about, the Spirit of God. But that is not the only way the Holy Spirit is described. The Holy Spirit has other descriptions. He is also the breath of God. The breath of God. He is the one who inspires us, awakens us, and brings life to us. The Holy Spirit is the inspirer. The breath of God who inspires us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The breath was the Holy Spirit activating us, animating us. So the Holy Spirit is our life giver. He gives us life and helps us to awaken to God's world. The passage, the Bible clearly teaches that God made man from the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth was inanimate, like the dust of the earth we have now. But God formed man out of already existing material, the dust of the earth. But man is not the only being that came from the dust of the earth. The animals also came from the dust of the earth. The trees came from the dust of the earth. So, at a certain level, man shares commonality with trees, with animals. At the biological level, at the cellular level, the same cells in the sand, in the trees, in the animals, are the cells in your body. So how different are we from all of that? Because God did something special when he was creating man. He breathed into man the breath of life, and that awakened the man. So the life of the man is based on the breath of God. The life of man is based on the breath of God. God breathed in. That breathing in is inspiration. To inspire is to breathe in. Inspiration. God gave his life to us. He inspired us with his life. But if you know anything about life, if you breathe in and never breathe out, you'll die. So God gave his life to us, that is inspiration, but we must give back our life to him to complete the cycle of breathing in and breathing out. So there are people who have breathed in, but they haven't breathed out. And the Bible calls them, they are dead in sin. The day they learn to breathe out and take the life that God gave to them and give it back to the giver of that life, at that time they complete the cycle of inspiration, expiration, inspiration, expiration, breathing in, breathing out. Our life came from God, but our life must be given back to God to complete the cycle. Your life is not your own. Your life depends on God, and you must give it back to him. But the Holy Spirit is the one who awakened us. And that is one of the unique things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And when he awakened us, he made us aware of ourselves. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of ourselves. The passage says, and man became a living being or a living soul. God's breath does not just impart life to us, but we become a living soul. We become people of reason, conscience, awareness. That is why God is able to communicate with us, because he has given us reason by which he can make himself known to us. He makes us aware of ourselves. You can never know your true self without the Holy Spirit. You can know about your father, you can know about your mother, you can know about your tribe, you can know about your ancestors, you can know the food you like, but your true self, who you are, you can only know through the one who gave you self-awareness. That's the Holy Spirit. So, in Job 32 verse 8, it says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. The breath of life that was breathed into us is what makes us reasonable people. That is why we can reason. We can think. We can have arguments. We can go on radio and debate. Horses cannot go and debate on radio. Crocodiles cannot go to parliament and write bills. Why is it that of all of God's creation, we are the only ones who know who we are, that we are a human being? We are aware of other people as well, and we can reason, we can remember, we can know what is happening now, and most important, we can imagine what has not happened. Animals cannot do that. They can't imagine what has not happened. And the reason we can do that is because God breathes something into us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he gave us the ability to think of yesterday, today, and forever. The ability to remember, to know, and to imagine. That is the work of God in you. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives us understanding of ourselves. And beyond that, he makes us aware of God. He makes us aware of God. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit is what makes us aware of God. There is a God awareness in every human being. There is a God awareness. I have said, and I believe with all my heart, that there is no real atheist in this world. It is impossible for a human being to be an atheist. Why? Because the knowledge of God is instinctive to man. That is why you have to go to school for a long time and develop a very, very, very strong argument to convince yourself there is no God. You will hardly find an uneducated person who doesn't both know God and acknowledge Him. You find the only people who do that are people who have to make mental effort to try to deny something they know without any shadow of doubt within them that it is. And that is why atheists spend a lot of time arguing against God. If there is no God, you shouldn't even bother. Is that not so? I mean, I don't spend my time arguing whether there is ghost or not. I don't bother. But for somebody to write books, there is no God. Write books, philosophical, biological, and all of that. There is no God. And developing all these arguments, you know he's arguing against something inside him, which he knows is there, which he cannot deny, because God breathed into him. He has been inspired. He only hasn't given back his life to God. But that knowledge of God is deep in every human being. No human being can be an atheist. That is why the Bible describes it clearly. He said the fool has said to himself. He has said to himself. What does it mean? He has convinced himself. When you convince yourself, then it means there is something innate inside of you that you are trying to use external argument to overcome. The fool has said to himself, said in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't know that. He knows there is God, but he has to debate that. You know why? Because if he accepts that there is God, then he has to be accountable to God. Then his life must now be regulated. Then when God says, don't do this, he doesn't have to do that. People don't want to do that. They want to have a free life. So they say there is no God. But I can guarantee you, no philosopher, all of you who hear all these people with great argument, I've read most of their books. They are just convincing themselves. Convincing themselves. Most people who say there's no God say that because they are angry with the pastor. They are angry with the church. They are angry with the religious institution. They are angry with somebody who hurt them when they were young. They're just angry. But inside them, they are inbreathed. And their mind tells them there is God. It is impossible to be an atheist. You can't be. You don't have the capacity to. It's like a human being who says, I won't be a human. You don't have a capacity to be non-human. You don't have that. You can call yourself, at this point, I identify as a monkey, I identify as a dog, I identify as what. But you don't have the capacity to. In the same way, you have no capacity to be an atheist. But you can convince yourself that there is no God. That's your matter.